Back to Psalm 51 on tonight, and we begin something there this morning, and I want to go a little further with it tonight and try to be a help to you from the Word of God. Psalm 51, and I'd just like to focus in on the one verse that we mentioned this morning, and that is verse number 12. And this is a prayer of repentance and restoration. It is a man who has allowed sin to come in his life, and it's messed things up in his fellowship with God. He's been miserable, and if you study the history of all of this, from the time that Nathan confronted David about his sin and the time David wrote Psalm 51, almost a year it went by. He was in misery and agony. Can you imagine being backslid on God for a year? And that would make a person just about suicidal and depressed, wouldn't it? And if you were supposed to have a loving, living relationship with God, and something came between you, and he wouldn't listen to your prayers, he wouldn't hear your prayers. Not that he couldn't, but that he wouldn't. Like Isaiah said, your sins are separated between you and your God. Your iniquities, or he said, your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. And I'm glad the psalmist wrote later, if I regard iniquity in mine heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so he's experiencing all these terrible things that sin has done as it's messed up his fellowship with the Lord. And now he wants to get right. And He expresses to us, we looked this morning, I'm not going through those again, but he expresses to us many of the different things that sin has done inside and outside upon him. And I don't know if you ever seen anybody that sin just beat them up. It's took a terrible toll on their physical being, as well as you can just imagine what it's doing to them on the inside. And so it's a terrible place to be. But now I'm glad he wants to get right with the Lord and leaves this behind for us to give us some help and guidance along the way. Psalm 51, verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I do encourage you in light of this verse. The next verse. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. I want to focus on verse 12, but I do encourage you to read through Psalm 51 sometime when you come to that verse number, the one that says, I can't see my numbers here, the one that says, then will I teach transgressors, verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Go look at Psalm 32 and just read that real slowly and carefully at how he fulfilled this promise of his. But restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And just a simple thought tonight, maybe more of a devotional thought. And I got some notes wrote down somewhere on this, but since I don't have them, we'll go a different route. But I want to preach on the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation. And I just got three things I'd like to say, but don't let that excite you too much. I got some sub things to say under those things, but I'll not be long, I don't think. But I want to say, first of all, I want you to know that salvation is associated with joy. Amen. Salvation is associated with joy. Now, we could pull out a lot of different verses of Scripture, but I'll give you one or two here. I'm thinking about Luke chapter 15, verses number 7 and verse number 10, and Luke 15, 7. The Lord said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And verse number 10, he said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so now I know what it's like to be saved, and I know what it's like for others to tell me about their salvation. And one thing that I don't guess there's words to describe it. I remember when I got saved, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I didn't know there was such a joy that could be experienced. Amen. You say, what is it like? Well, the Bible says it, and the song we sing sometimes says it too. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. Salvation is associated with joy. And I thought I was having a good time in the world, experiencing all the things the world had to offer. But you know, there's no way that a Christian can help a lost person to understand what they're missing out on and just how wonderful and joyous that salvation really is. But I'm so thankful the Lord had mercy on me, brought me to Himself, saved my soul, and I got a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And along with that, I didn't even know it existed at the time. I know now it exists, but I got a joy unspeakable and full of glory, and also a peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. And along with that, I found in the Bible that a love which passeth knowledge. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passeth all understanding. And a love which passeth knowledge. Now, I just gave you 1 Peter 1:8, and I gave you Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, and I gave you also Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 19. It's where it talks about those three things. And so, but salvation is associated with joy. Why is joy and salvation associated with each other? What is so joyful about salvation? And there's a number of things we could say, but when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, you know what I was so joyful about? Amen. And it's all I knew. When I went to that altar that morning, when I stepped out of that pew, I knew I was going to hell. I knew I couldn't do anything about it. But the preacher showed from the Bible and told many times how Jesus didn't want me to go to hell. And He did do something about it. And if I'd put my trust in what He did, I wouldn't have to go to hell. You know why I was glad the morning I received Jesus Christ as my Savior? You know what my first thought was? They said, you have a word of testimony. I said, yeah, the Lord saved me today. And from that point on, something just, the Holy Spirit, what it was, I didn't know him. I just knew I wasn't going to hell anymore. Amen. And I was so happy that I didn't have to go to hell anymore. I didn't even know about all the benefits that come along with salvation. I just knew. And the next Wednesday night at church, the preacher said, I wonder if anybody's got a word. I said, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. That's been, I don't know, that's been about 42, almost 43 years ago. Guess what, folks? After 43 years, I'm glad I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
I'm joyful about that. I have the joy of the Lord in me because I'm not going to hell. I didn't even know for a while that I get to go to heaven too. Amen. So salvation's associated with joy because hell's defeated, because heaven's my destination. Jesus said in John 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And we talked a little bit this morning, maybe more in the Sunday school, but not only don't have to go to hell, I get to go to heaven. But also, I didn't know it that day. I knew something happened. I knew somebody was in there that didn't used to be in there. Amen. I didn't know all these things when I got saved. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was another comforter that Jesus sent back to abide with His children forever, to dwell in them, to, like the songwriter said, to walk with them and talk with them and tell them that they are His own. But I'm so thankful for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Salvation's associated with joy because hell's defeated, because heaven's my destination, because now I have a helper, a comforter, one called alongside to help. I got my scriptures mixed up here, but that's all right. I'm glad I don't have to try to make this journey alone. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Spirit's there to guide me, to teach me, to lead me, to do whatever I need to be done as far as the Christian life's concerned. He is my friend and my helper and my comforter, and He abides with me. I couldn't get rid of Him if I wanted to. Why would I want to? I don't know. I guess I told you this before. I guess y'all, I don't know if y'all got church hymnals around here. I'm not sure. They call it the Old Church of God book. I don't need one. But number 184, it may be in this book too. Renee, look and see if it's in the All-American right there. Maybe it is, maybe it ain't. No big deal. But I probably sang this to you here before. But I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this. What are you so happy about? Well, I can't help it. The Comforter abides with me. He abides. He abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. I asked Renee, I said, you think I ought to sing thus and such a song tonight? And she said, no, we probably had enough singing tonight. And I said, well, I'll just get it some other time. And she knows I sing in my preaching most of the time anyway. But there's no thirsting for the things of the world. They've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up. And is that in their book there? Is it? Got all four verses in there, does it? Y'all probably sang that from time to time then. He abides, hallelujah. He abides with me. And so I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. I have a helper that is dependable, and I have a hope that is definite. Salvation is associated with joy. And that you could come up with a lot of different reasons, but let me move on. Salvation's joy can be lost. Salvation's joy can be lost. And really, as I've read and studied my Bible, and I've searched it, and I've looked this subject up, and I've thought a lot about it. And by the way, let me throw something in on this joy of the Lord. People says, now, Brother Ricky, are you going by your feelings? No, I am not. I got better sense than that. You don't do that. You don't do that as a Christian. You don't go by your feelings, but you can't stop the feelings from coming. And the Bible order is there are the facts of the Word of God, but when your faith is put in the facts of the Word of God, once in a while, the feelings come along with it. You can like this or not, I'm just telling you, look up the word. You look up the word joy. You know what about the first definition you find about the word joy in the dictionary is? Joy is defined as a very glad feeling or something that produces that feeling. It's a very glad feeling. I'm not going on my feelings, but I am feeling something on what I'm going on. The joy of salvation. Salvation has joy associated with it. And salvation's joy can be lost. One thing I know of that'll cause you to lose the joy of salvation, it's right here in this psalm, it's sin. Sin will cause you to lose the joy of your salvation. We saw that in the verses this morning and all the effects of sin and we looked at. But let me give you just a few words that begin, and preachers like alliteration, you know, to make the words start with the same letter. Let me give you some W's tonight that'll explain what I'm talking about. Salvation's joy can be lost. How can I lose the joy of salvation? Well, these are all sin, and I'm just naming a few things. You could go a lot of ways this, but wrongdoing. Wrongdoing, James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, or you know what you ought not to do and you do it, that's sin. It'll cause you to lose the joy of your salvation. We sang about this tonight, and there was a little testifying about it maybe this morning, but worrying. I know that's a bad word to Baptists. Now, let me say this. Somebody told me, said, Brother Ricky, don't you know the word worry's not in the Bible? You know what I said? He put his arm and he said, Brother Ricky, don't you be offended at me. And he said, I preached one time on worrying out of Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus told us to take no thought for your life what you shall eat or drink. And I preached on the subject of worry. And he said, Brother Ricky, don't be offended. But now, son, he's an older preacher. The word worry's not in the Bible. I just grinned at him and I said, you're absolutely right. The word worry's not in the Bible, but the thought is there and the principle is there. And when Jesus said, take no thought for your life, for your body, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. And when the Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. When he said, be careful for nothing, That just means don't worry about anything. When Jesus said, take no thought about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live, he said, why are you worried about these things? No, the word worry is not in the Bible, but the principle is there. And worrying is a sin. Casting all your care, he said in 1 Peter 5:7, upon him, for he careth for you. All the things that make you anxious, all the things that make you worry, all the things that are disturbing to you, folks, it's a sin to worry. It's a sin. The word frets in the Bible, he tells us to fret not. The word fears in the Bible, he tells us to fear not. But when he says, be careful for nothing, the plain English language of our day, and I'm not changing the Bible, when he says, be careful for nothing, what is he saying? Be careful for nothing. In other words, he's saying, don't be full of care.
Right.
Which is another way of saying, don't worry. Don't worry. And we do it.
Yeah.
We do it. I'm not changing the Bible on you. When he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm thinking about the way the songwriter expressed it. And I apologize for not knowing your book better than this, not looking these things up. I'm so familiar with that church hymnal, and not that there's a lot of good books out there in the song. It's probably in this book right here too. It probably is. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why? All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's the songwriter's version of Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't worry. Worrying is one of the sins that cause you to lose the joy of your salvation. Waste. Don't waste. There's so many things could be said here. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. I'm going to move on. But Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I dread the judgment seat of Christ when I look back at my life and see the time as a child of God that I wasted on things that don't matter. When I look back at my life, and I'm still not where I'd like to be. But we read some verses this morning about eternity there from the book of 1 Corinthians 4:17-18. Or maybe it's 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. I think it's 1 Corinthians, but anyway, 1 Corinthians 4:17-18. It talks about how that it's the things that are seen that are temporal, but the things that are not seen that are eternal. And when I think about how much focus and emphasis that I have put on the temporal instead of on the eternal. When I think about when he said to the church at Colossae, and it's for us today, when I think about how that he wants us to set our affection on things above, he said to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When I think about how many times have I been so much more concerned about this world, this life, and the temporary than I have the afterlife, the one that's going to last a lot longer than this one. And when I think about the emphasis I put on this world instead of that world, friend, wasteful. I'm not getting on to nobody now. I'm preaching to me, okay? I told you this morning, I'm the one needs this. Hopefully it'll help you too. I found this out. If I preach to me and get me right, Lord, it usually helps somebody else.
Amen.
I just preach to me, amen. And so worrying, wants. What about our wants, amen? And, I done gave you the verse, but sometimes look here what my note says right here. Sometimes we're too busy with the temporal and not spending enough time on the eternal. Well, you can move on off of that one now because I done preached it, didn't I? Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Our wants oftentimes can become a sin to us that can rob us of the joy of the Lord. Worldliness, and the Bible has so much to say about worldliness, and you say you ain't going to preach on things and all that. Well, the Bible's pretty plain, amen. You say, are you going to preach on this or that and these and those? Are you going to name this and that? Well, if it's bothering you, then something's wrong somewhere, isn't it? Without me even having to say anything.
Yes.
I thought about this. Now, Brother Sam
Danielle, I guess, at different times in life, preached against everything that moved and kicked some things to make them move. You know, I sat under him a long time and listened to him preach many times. Most of the time, he just quoted the Bible. And he never preached against half the things people accused him of. They thought he did.
Yeah.
Just because he quoted the Bible. And it bothered them and it convicted them. And
You can just quote the Bible, and I know I've had people to come and get saved,
and I know in particular a man that his hair was longer than it should have been, but he was lost, he didn't know any better, and he came to Christ for salvation, and I purposely stayed away from 1 Corinthians 11:14, where it says, "Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?" But he came up to me after service one night. And I purposely stayed away from that, folks. But he thinks I quoted it. But I didn't quote it. I went back and listened to the tape. I never got near it. And he said, "My hair's need to be cut on it." As well, I mean, since you brought it up, if the Lord's bothering you about it, I said, "I used to have long hair like that." But I said, and nobody ever told me any different. I just, looked around, and the more I went to church, and I saw that I wasn't dressed like everybody else, and I didn't look like everybody else. And I thought, if there ain't a man in here got hair as long as mine, I probably should get mine cut.
Amen.
And so I did. I got it cut a little bit at first, and a lot more later, and now I don't have any.
But anyway, I never said anything about it to him. But I just preached the Bible, just preached the Word of God, and it will get the job done. I know Preacher Allen never preached against half the things he's been accused of preaching against. He's with the Lord now, but he preached the Bible, and he did preach against some things, and then some people thought he preached against. But James 4:4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world." In other words, don't be molded into the shape of the world that it wants you in. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." There's so many scriptures. 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." He said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Worldliness is a sin. And you say, "Well, is this worldly and is that worldly?" And if you have to ask about it, there's probably something wrong somewhere, and y'all probably all just leave it alone. I always was taught, when in doubt, leave it out. Amen. If you have to ask about it, you probably ought not to have anything to do with it. Amen. And if you say, "Well, I'm still unsure," well, just keep reading your Bible and keep seeking the Lord and keep asking the Lord about it. Between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, you'll get your answer that you need.
Amen.
I remember as a young preacher, two of the greatest blessings in my life as a young preacher, and all these people had all these questions about all these things, and I didn't know anything about it. But I'm glad that John Rice and M.R. DeHolland both put out books. John Rice put out one, said, "Preacher, here's my question." It was about 500 pages of questions that people sent in and tried to answer in the Bible. Later on, he put a second volume of that out. And M.R. DeHolland put one out, said, "Doctor, I have a question." And it had about 508 different questions in it, and he tried to answer them from the Bible. They helped me a lot. I referred to them many, many times. And it gave you some good guidelines to go by, and oftentimes direct scriptures. Salvation has joy associated with it. Salvation's joy can be lost. And I'll be quick on this, I think. Salvation's joy can be restored. You can have the joy of salvation back. And the psalmist is asking the Lord, "Lord, if there's one thing I miss, I really wish I had it back. Please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation."
Amen.
Want my joy back, Lord.
Right.
I want to hear like I used to hear.
Amen.
I want to see like I used to see. I want to feel like I used to feel. Give me my joy back. You say, "How can I get the joy of salvation back?" Well, number one, if you're concerned enough about the fact that you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart, you can have it back. You're on the way to having it back if you're concerned enough, and if you care about it, and if you'll confess like the Bible said, and because of His cleansing, you can have salvation's joy back. Let me read you some verses here. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. 1 John 1, 6 through 10. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's pretty simple right there, isn't it? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And He goes on down in 1 John chapter 2 and says, my little children, I write unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's not dealing with lost people here, and they need to repent and turn away from sin and turn to God. He's dealing with the children of God. That's who He's writing to, and He's trying to instruct them. Here's what you do about your sin. You say, Lord, I've sinned. You're right. You've called me out on it. You're right. I'm wrong.
I know that. I acknowledge that. And I turn from it.
And I just want the joy of the Lord back in my soul. And so you can do all this is because the blood that saved you, it keeps on working after it saves you. The blood that initially cleansed you, it will continue to cleanse you from the sin that you confess unto God if you'll do it like He said to do it. And so here we find the psalmist giving us many instructions on what to do about sin in our life as a child of God. We can get it right. And I'm glad David got it right, and he wrote some of the sweetest songs and psalms after he got it right. Oh, please take time to read the 11 verses. Matter of fact, let me close tonight by reading the 11 verses from Psalm 32. Let me just read Psalm 32 to you. This is what David wrote in his promise. I'm not preaching from them, okay? I just want to read these verses and leave them with you, and they'll come with a verse of invitation, and we'll move on to a different portion of the service. Psalm 32. And once again, if you have a King James Bible, it says there, Psalm 32, and it says, a psalm of David, Maskil. That means it's a psalm of teaching and instruction. Yeah. David knew about sin and what it would do to you. Quite an expert on it. And he writes to us about, here's what you do about sin in your life. And once you confess it and get it right with God, here's what will happen to you. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You remember that word, blessed? Happy, happy, happy is what that means. Blessed is the man. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, here's some more of the things he talked about sin had done to him. When I kept silence, in other words, when I didn't get things right and I just let sin linger on, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions and unto the Lord, for thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This is good instruction right here. Why would a person be so stubborn? But we are. Listen, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. You've heard the expression stubborn as a mule. Right there's where it comes from. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't be like a horse or a mule that has to be forced to be led to turn away and to go. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And I wish I could find, let me just give you this right here. Now, three times, I'm finished here. Three times he used the word Selah in these 11 verses right here. And three times he used this word. That means you better stop and think about that for a little while. What do you think about that? You ought to meditate on that. You ought to think about that. He used this word Selah these three times, and one of them was the Selah of conviction of sin, and one was the Selah of the confession of sin, and one was the Selah of the confidence that you can have in He who will forgive and cleanse sin. Confession, conviction, and confidence in the Lord. Think about that. You can have your sin forgiven. You can have your joy restored. You can have it like it's supposed to be in your relationship, fellowship with your Father. Thank you, Lord, for the good liberty tonight. I thank you, Lord, for these words from your word and how they helped my soul. I pray that we'd go away from here thinking about what we've heard. May these verses be a blessing to your children in the days ahead. Help us to be right with you where we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to be full of the joy of the Lord, that others might wonder what it is that makes us tick or what it is that makes us so happy. Lord, we have a lot of reason tonight. We are a blessed people. Thank you for all your blessings and all the benefits of salvation. Continue to help us to understand them, yes, and use them to glorify you. In your name, we ask and pray. Amen. All right.